Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, I think we should start with the Powell Pepper Port Adelaide saga. What do you reckon?
It's dragging on, Rick, isn't it?
Well, it's dragging on to a ridiculous length, I think.
Look, he was obviously in the wrong and he's admitted all that. Let's get his penalty out the way and let him play football. I mean, you know, there's no, I don't think anybody's ever said that he didn't do something, and what he actually done, we're not too sure, are we, really?
Well, we're not, but I think the strange thing is the way, I don't think there's any problems with the way Port Adelaide have handled it, but what I find very difficult to understand, including Koshy, is the way that the AFL have handled it. That they've just let it drag on. They've made no actual accusations, and yet they say he deserves a 3-match penalty. Well, why didn't they say that 2 days after it happened?
Well, I can see some legal matters happening here yet, because if they've got this suspension wrong, you know, and he'd be missing out on match payments, I would say that, you know, his solicitors and lawyers and whatever else will be giving them a ring yet.
Well, it is interesting that you've raised that issue, because there is a possibility that could happen, even if it was argued on a technicality, because evidently the reason that he was free to play for the Port Adelaide Magpies on Wednesday in the Anzac Day grand final replay was that the incident didn't fit within the rules of playing the game. That it was obviously outside of football rules, and that the AFL has basically sort of argued along the lines that it's brought the game into some degree of disrepute, as they say. Now, without the evidence, I mean, it's interesting that the girl went to Port Adelaide and to Channel 7. The police have not been involved. The police have not charged anyone. And there is an argument that the AFL are preventing a bloke from earning a dollar, namely Powell Pepper.
Well, I don't know if the squirrel grips in the rules of football.
Well, yeah. and so it is a really... Well, I've already said it. The thing that I'm intrigued by is just how long the AFL let the saga go for.
Well, and why was he allowed to play then for Port Adelaide? I know they said because of, you know, the rule, you know, it was within the rules. We've got a guy playing, we won't mention him, but we've got a guy playing for Norwood at the moment he's got a police charge against him.
Well, 110% correct. And so there seems to be a total inconsistency about these situations. Now, I think we need to perhaps, while we're sensibly discussing this, go back to, well, let's put it back to the days when you and I were playing. Basically, there was no such thing as professional sportsmen, and people played for the love of it, and they might have picked up, you know, a few bucks, but not to the tune that these guys are today. Yeah. On top of that, we all had full-time jobs. Whereas now, not only are they getting paid a fortune for playing, but and sure, some of them are studying, but they've got time on their hands. And although the educational concept is that, you know, you don't do these things, you don't go out and drink, you don't do that, you don't do anything else. And that's fine. I'm absolutely happy with that. As long as we make some degree of adjustment for the way things have changed and that it's going to take time. I mean, it's a wide, you know, bow to draw, but just imagine if Booney didn't hold the record for the number of beers being drunk on the plane on the way to England. I mean, that's more famous than the Robin Hood saga. Now, today, he'd be on the first plane back.
Yeah, that's right.
But things are different. And
look, times have changed, haven't they? I mean, it's probably more professional and... Whether it's for the better, I'm not too sure at times, but it's just the way life is.
Well, it is. And I think the trouble is at the top end of the scale, you've got huge people making decisions almost seemingly for their own good and to protect their own jobs. And I think we've probably said enough, but
yeah.
For the AFL to have taken as long, they've almost given him his 3 weeks without us making it official by dragging it on for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. The three weeks is going to be up this week.
That's right.
And they really haven't made a decision on it, to be honest.
Rather than stand up and be counted 2 days after the event and said, right, the guy's got 3 weeks, whether you like it or not.
All right, enough of that. While we're on Port, we've got Hamish Hartlett, one of our best players so far this year, Rick. I think you can
back
me up. The old ACL's gone and 12 months.
12 months. That is a major loss for Port Adelaide.
He's played well off halfback, really well this year. I've seen, lucky enough to see a couple of the games already, and he was, you know, he got knocked out last week a bit there, and or knocked around, I should say, probably not out, otherwise he wouldn't have come back on. But he was just sensational. He's one of the real hard nuts at the ball for us.
And the thing is that Port have got a reasonably good defence, but it's a very young defence, and he was sort of the experienced, almost the general, and for him to be gone is a big, big hole.
It is a big hole, and I think we're going to struggle this week.
Well, it's interesting you say that, and it probably is time for the joke of the week, because it actually fits in.
Okay.
Well, you told me how badly Port played against Geelong and missing bodies and passing and whatever.
Ugh.
So did you hear what Ken Hinckley said to the boys?
No.
Well, he took them out to practice and he said, today we're going to practice passing the ball.
Yeah.
Only this time we're going to try it slightly differently. This time we're going to try and pass it to each other.
Well, that would be a good idea, because they weren't doing that last week, I can tell you that.
So, no, and it reminded me very much of the way we fell into holes and lost games against Richmond and West Coast last year by doing the very same thing.
Well, I thought we were over it, because I saw the first game and they looked a different side. But I've seen the last couple again, and we're just back to that, the same old, same old. So,
I think it was summed up when I was discussing it with my son, who said there's nothing wrong with possession football. If you can play possession,
it's got to be accurate.
Well, you've got to keep possession of the ball. That's the big problem,
right?
Because if you've passed it sideways or 50 metres backward and you don't keep possession, it makes it a lot easier for the opposition.
It's one of them on whenever they played Saturday night, was 45 metres backwards they went. And it worked, they got to the player, but then it still got clogged up over the other side. You know, I just can't see the...
Well,
I don't know.
I'm a bit of a Hawthorn fan and have been for a long time. And they, to me, are the only team who can play that style of football and consistently play it well. And I put that down to great coaching.
Oh, well, he is a great coach, isn't he, Clarkson? I mean, you know, that's the way it is.
So, I don't know how long you keep trying to do something that you're not doing very well, but I've almost lost the plot already, because that game against Geelong, it was like turning back the clock, because they obviously haven't learned anything from last year.
I might be speaking out of turn here a bit, but I think Jack Watts is very, very lucky to have another game this week. He was honestly beyond just ridiculous how he was no good at all.
That's a big call.
It was a big call, but he was just shocking. And he wasn't much better the week before.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you. The only thing I'll sit on the fence for one moment and say that a forward's life is made easy or difficult by the way the ball's coming in. And if it's not coming in the way it's designed to come in, then that makes life more difficult. Sure, the better you are, you can make something out of next to nothing, and maybe that's a comment on Watts's ability or whatever, but I think he's new. I'd give him a bit longer. He's new to the club. He's new to the system. You're a harsh man,
yeah,
Phil.
No. He would have had a game in the Maggies this week if it was me there. But anyway, we'll move on.
Well, folks, you've heard it. That's the replacement for Ken Hinckley.
Yeah. Tell you what, I couldn't do any worse at the moment.
But dear me, you're on a roll.
All right, well, we've got the Bulldogs versus Carlton. Who do we like there, Rick?
Oh, honestly, the Western Bulldogs will win, and I'll nominate by over 6 goals.
Okay, we'll agree on that. Geelong and Sydney, we'll just run through.
Well, no Buddy Franklin.
No Buddy Sydney.
That's right. And down at, you know, there's not a lot of teams that win down at Geelong.
I agree.
Geelong for me.
Yep, GWS and Brisbane, I don't think that's pretty obvious, isn't it? GWS. Hawthorn and St Kilda, we go the Hawks.
Hawks will win by plenty.
Essendon and Melbourne, probably.
That's the close one. That's probably the game of the round,
like the, in the closeness.
Yes.
And I reckon Melbourne will fall over the line there,
Rick. I'm going for Melbourne as well.
Collingwood and Richmond, probably another good game.
Well,
Collingwood's shown a bit of form.
Collingwood have played very well.
But I go for Richmond.
If Collingwood played the way they did against the Crows, they could give them a shake. But I'm not sure that Richmond would allow them to play that way. I'll go for Richmond as well.
Same here. Frio and West Coast.
West Coast, the Derby, or the Derby,
whatever they call it.
I mean, the big thing is that we forget that West Coast actually finished in the eight last year. We can well and truly remember they beating Port in the knockout final.
Yes, but I was there.
The big thing that they've got is they've got the team they had last year, but they've got Natter back.
And he gives them
first look at the ball, and I tell you what, they're a premiership contention over there.
And I don't reckon I put them in the eight.
I don't think you did either.
No.
Well, you know, if you look at the track record, particularly on their new oval and everything, you in the past you've basically said, well, West Coast are going to win half the season's game because they very rarely lose in Perth.
Yep.
Now that they've got the sort of same concept of the new oval, like Adelaide Oval, is here. You could write them down for the top four, I reckon, now.
Oh, you got Kennedy and Lacroix, and those guys can play. I mean, they're not, they know mugs, those guys, that's for sure. So, okay, we've got West Coast, and I'm going for North Melbourne.
Yeah, I had a feeling you jumped off the wagon already.
Yes.
I'm going to be brave, and I'll go for Port, not with a great deal of confidence, and even with less confidence when I think of their track record at Etihad Stadium, where I think Port have only ever won twice since the thing's been built. But I'm just hoping that it's, you know, they have to win to get back on track.
They do.
The thing that really worries me is that North Melbourne have got a couple of very good tools. And,
Magic Doors playing down back.
Yeah. And we've got this, but, you know, we've got this paranoia about not playing one of our young ruckmen. So we're going in yet again without a recognised ruckman. On a ground that we don't play well, it wouldn't surprise me if your pick's right. But they'd only give you a chance to get one closer to me again.
Yeah, be overtaking you, I think. But anyway, what are we going to cover now, Rick?
Well, we'll just quickly look at the local footy.
Oh, yeah. There's only a couple games to go.
I must officially thank you for taking me to the Yanzac game up at Angaston. I actually would suggest that's one of the most middle to poor standard games that I've seen.
I agree with you, Rick. It was a pretty ordinary game. It was about 10 goals to 8 and a beautiful fine day.
It was a perfect day. I think the only thing you can say is that it was two pretty average teams, so the game was pretty equal, and that's probably, you know, I lost count of the scrummages and the ball ups, and they...
You found yourself not even watching the game half the time, you know?
It was a very... I think what it does say, which is a bit sad at this early stage of the season, is that we saw two teams, Nuriupta and Angaston, who are going to finish well and truly in the bottom half.
Yeah, and I had Nuri in the four. Yeah.
And I don't think so. And we've already discussed the qualities of South Gawler and...
Central.
So there's your... I'd say they're your bottom... Well,
yeah.
And Freeling. Yeah. And so, you know, your bottom five, I'd say the four in some form or another is stitched up already.
Yeah, and what would it fall? This will be the fourth week in, isn't it?
So, and the obvious gap, you know, now that Williston, I mean, Williston are three games ahead of any of them.
That's right. So even if they lose it, you know, a couple now, there's still going to be a couple up on them.
That's right.
Because they've had that jump.
That's right. And I mean, it's not good for the competition if it becomes a very one-sided affair. I think when it comes to the finals, it will be a different kettle of fish in the sense that, well, we're going to see a good game this week between Tanunda and Barossa.
Yeah.
But it may well be that Kapunda and Williston make up the other two. Kapunda nearly got there last year against Barossa. How sad is it that at round four or whatever it is, we're discussing that the race for the four is nearly over.
It's almost over. Yeah, and I tend to agree with you there, Rick, I think. So,
I'm going to go for, even though it's at Tanunda, I'm going to go for Barossa.
I think we tipped this on our last show, but I'll just tell the listeners again, and I'm going for Tanunda.
And I'm going to go for Kapunda.
And I'm going for Kapunda too. Yeah. It's at Kapunda, yeah. So I think the home side will get up there.
Yeah. Now, while we're looking at different sports, I'm not sure whether you saw that the Australian Women's Soccer Federation are going to put in a bid for the World Cup of Women's Soccer for 2023, which I think is a fantastic idea. It'll promote, just like the AFL's tried to promote women's football, women's soccer is already reasonably big, and of course the Australian women's side is absolutely sensational, but I think it will boost it at school and lower levels if we were to get it. But the interesting thing is that the criticism already, just for something different, has been levelled at South Australia, in that they say that we are going to let down the bid because Hindmarsh Stadium isn't up to scratch.
Yeah, and I find that hard to believe because, I mean, we've got an A-League team that play out of there, but it's obviously for different reasons other than the ground surface or the capacity.
Well, I think it's right. You've hit the nail on the head from what I understand, in that it is a very good soccer pitch, but FIFA, the controlling world body, argues on two grounds that it's not suitable for World Cup women's soccer, let alone World Cup men's soccer, that one, the capacity's not there, and secondly, that for the concept for the Women's World Cup is that they want to play double headers, and it's only got two change rooms, and so they're arguing that it would need to be upgraded to four so that the two games could be played, you know, one after the other. Now, I can see that in the overall scheme of things, if you're looking at a country with the population of, you know, Europe, but we're a very, you know, small population based. And let's face it, it's not that long ago that Adelaide United won an A-League premiership, and they struggle more times than not to fill Hindmarsh Stadium as it is.
Yeah.
And so even if the money sort of dropped out of the sky, and you did everything that FIFA wants, there's not much fun playing a game of soccer on a ground that holds 50,000 when you can't get 20,000, let alone 15.
Let's say they get 15 in. I'm not too sure what it holds, almost 15 or 12 or something like that. Would they get that many out of Women's World Cup soccer game?
Well, the answer is I don't know, because we've never held one in Australia. Because it is a World Cup, you probably would get a number of people. But, you know, I think the argument is more over the fact that they claim the facilities aren't there. And FIFA, for their headstrong position, argue that World Cup soccer, men or women, shouldn't be played on anything but a rectangular stadium. Okay. So even though
it wouldn't be worth us building another stadium just for this, surely.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I mean, it'd be different if it was going to bring in the people week after week after it was built, but it won't. I mean, we know that's not going to happen. And, you know, although they're not competition games, you know, if it's good enough for Man United and those sorts of teams to come and tour Australia and play on the likes of Adelaide Oval and the MCG and get 80 or 90,000 people, you know, just because FIFA like a rectangular pitch, well, you know, so be it.
But
we aren't a big enough population to be able to carry the finance that would be committed to redoing Hindmarsh, or in fact, building another one somewhere else.
Well, and as you know, Hindmarsh charge Adelaide United that much, they can't even afford to train there. They've got to train out here at Elizabeth, you know, because it costs X amount every time they open the gates up there for them to train. So they train out here at Elizabeth. So,
exactly.
I don't know.
I just think that sometimes it's nice to think ahead, but sometimes we have to put into perspective that we are a very small population. You can fly people all over the world, all across America for basketball, baseball, because you've got a population umpteen hundred times bigger than us. But, you know, to cover the costs from a team flying, basketball team from Perth to Brisbane, is disproportionately incredibly expensive.
Oh, absolutely.
And we sometimes, I think, get carried away with just because we love sport, some things we just simply can't afford in the overall scheme of things to do.
Mm. No, I'd agree with you there. But we're probably running over time Rick. We got away from us a bit there.
Well, we have. I've got another joke. Just another joke, because I think this is a ripper and it's a good way to finish.
Okay.
Right. There was a notice on the board in one of the sports clubs the other day. And the notice read, "For sale, a complete set of sporting encyclopedias, never been used."
What?
Coach knows everything.
They generally do, don't they? But anyway.
Well, there you go. That's it for today. I'm Rick.
Fun.
Yeah.
And I'm Phil.
Okay. Talk to you next time.